Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome. Welcome to Goth and Bougie
What
Podcast.
episode are we? I don't
We
know.
are episode 141, and this is our last episode in season three.
Wow. But not our last
Wow.
one before Christmas, right?
No, we'll have a few more before Christmas, but
We'll have.
season four, our next episode, will start our season four.
That's
So,
craziness, Mel.
season four. With murder and mayhem.
This is about the time that most, franchises either they either stick with it or they're done. So
Well, what are we doing?
we'll see. Oh,
We'll see.
so far it's still fun.
Oh.
It was the pressure to record every week was really hard for me. So
I mean, I just made it happen, so.
yeah, well, I have other shit to do.
I have other shit to do too, but I still made it
Well,
happen.
a lot of my shit to do is just spending time at home with my baby. Okay, so what are we doing here?
Are we doing?
What episode did you just say? I'm really disjointed today. It's just been craziness. We got back from Scotland on Sunday before last. I mean, today is Tuesday. We got back the Sunday before. And we've still just been going since we've got home. So it's like I'm
Well,
in a fucking time warp.
because you still have like jet lag and stuff too that you're trying to probably recover
Yeah. And
from.
what really sucks about only going for a week is that by the time you finally get used to, okay, we're 6 hours ahead because you're moving 6 hours ahead in time, and you finally get used to that, then it's time to come back. And it's like, God, and you had just gotten used to it all. Now you got to jump back in time 6 hours again.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I really felt weird being gone on Thanksgiving. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Like I didn't, oh, big deal. We're not going to be in the States for Thanksgiving. It won't be that big of a deal. It's just another day. But it
Right.
felt really weird. Like I felt weird coming back and Christmas is in full swing and we didn't have Thanksgiving. So I actually made Thanksgiving dinner this Sunday. I
There's
made.
nothing wrong with that. I mean, you just needed to have it so that way
I told
you.
Robert, I feel like I need to eat a Thanksgiving dinner to feel complete. So
Yeah.
we
Well,
made.
that gets usually that's what gets the holiday season kind of started, is that
Yeah,
Thanksgiving.
yeah, yeah. And it feels like, a pre-holiday, it's almost like
Yeah.
Christmas dinner, but for Thanksgiving. But yeah, so we made turkey and I made my mama's stuffing. And yeah, we made, what else were we? Stuffing, cranberry, of course. I made a chocolate pie. But yeah, that was
Yeah.
neat. I'm still, it's Tuesday. We're still eating leftovers from it. So it's
That's
just
the
like
best. The leftovers are the
Thanksgiving.
best. Yeah.
Yeah. So
That's all I ate after Thanksgiving at my mom's was just leftovers. Like we just ate leftovers nonstop for that week. David was definitely tired of ham and turkey, and
yeah,
that's really all I
we
ate.
didn't do
Spinach
a
and
ham and
pistachios.
we didn't do like a whole turkey. We just did a turkey breast and just did it
Yeah.
frozen. But yeah, it was really tasty. It was tasty. It was pretty good. So very happy. Very, very glad that we did that. I was thinking I wanted to
So
kind
tell me about Scotland. I waited and waited. I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to see these fucking pictures of her wedding. I
of.
cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Well, and
I
she
was
had told
like,
us that
patiently waiting.
we could not take photos up on the mountain where we were on location. We couldn't do photos. Because she wanted to, and I get it. I get that. Her photographer, she pays good money for a photographer. She doesn't want crappy cell phone photos. She wants, her photographer professional photos. So we didn't really she said we could take pictures of like the scenery and stuff. And she let me share the photo of like us three before
Right, I got you sent me those
yeah.
privately, and then I was like, I'm crying. Yeah,
Hang on 1 second. Okay. Anyway, yeah, it was magical. I mean, there's nothing short of that. It was fucking magical. She really did it right. I mean, that's all I can say is that she did what the way she did it, and everything seemed to go. I haven't really talked to her a whole lot because they spent another week in London, but everything seemed to go the way she wanted it to go, with the one minor hiccup that I'm going to tell you about in a second.
Well,
But
I've watched her Facebook pictures look vicariously through her, so.
oh yeah. And she had just gotten her hair done. So it was bright fucking purple. It was awesome. So like we flew in, we decided to fly in on Friday night and then we got there on Saturday morning. And when we were booking the flights, we were looking at all the flights And to fly nonstop, there are very, very few, and I think there's one, because it was sold out by the time I went to actually have the money to pay for the ticket. One nonstop flight. Highly recommend to anyone who can afford a nonstop flight overseas to anywhere to do it, because the layovers are just, if all goes to plan, then fine. But if that, our very first, so on the way in, we connected, we had just one connection in Newark.
I knew that you guys, when you told us last time we recorded, you told us that was very close. Like some of the flights to catch them are very close.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And so we were watching the flight, and our first flight from New Orleans to Newark was delayed. And
of course it was.
Son of a bitch, because then our connection in Newark was an hour and a half. Is what the difference was, is we had an hour and a half. And at first, if things were on time, that's plenty of time to get to your next gate. No problem. An hour. No problem. Mm. But that was delayed. And we're like, oh shit. Oh my God. And so we're like, our seats were in the back of the fucking plane. Also, if you are booking a flight and you have a short layover like that, pay at least the extra money to get to the front of the plane. Cause we're in the back of the plane and we're talking to the people. We're like, yeah, we have a connecting flight to Scotland for our daughter's wedding. And like, people really nice. Like they let us just run straight off the plane they grabbed our carry-on, and we were able to go in front of like several rows ahead of us, because we're like, we have to go, because our flight was due to leave in like 15 fucking minutes.
Oh, did you make it though? I guess you made it.
So we're running. It's just like the fucking movies.
We were running.
And I was like,
I was running.
I need my inhaler. I was like, go ahead. I said, Robert, go ahead. Whew, I'm stopping like, because then they changed the gate to be, it was originally going to be like,
of course they did.
Gate right here to the gate right there is what the lady was telling us. Because I talked to the lady before we left New Orleans, like, what happened? She's like, if we get there too late and you miss your flight because we got there too late, we'll help you. But it's just screws everything over. So we're running to the next gate because they moved it like 4 or 5 gates down. And Robert's looking at me. I'm like, just go ahead. Leave me. Save yourself. Go. But so he made it just as they were about to close the door to the ramp to let people on. So we got in, no problem. I'm like, okay, whew, we're on board, we can take a breath, we are gonna make it to Scotland. So then we get to Scotland, and it was pretty cool because as soon as we get off, you know, everyone's, all their accents are Scottish, all the airplane workers and everything. It was just so cool to actually fucking be there. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And the flight wasn't that bad. The flight overseas was only like 6.5 hours from where we were to Edinburgh. So it wasn't that bad. And we flew into Edinburgh. Then we get there and watching the carousel for the baggage.
Oh, no.
See the fucking baggage.
Oh, no. Welcome to my world.
Like, fuck me, man.
It's your worst nightmare come true.
Yes, but we were in Scotland. We're in another fucking country.
I know.
Oh my God. So we're like, okay. And I had thought about that. I told Robert, I hope our bags, because we were trying to track our bags the whole way. And I was like, I hope our bags get there. I mean, eventually they'll get there eventually, but they may be delayed. So we went and asked the guy, who, and he was really nice. He said, okay, they're still in Newark. And I'm like, yeah, great. Of course our bags are still in Newark. He said that they'll be here in the morning and we'll deliver them to you. Where are you staying? I said, we are picking up a rental car and driving north to Inverness, which is several hours away. So we're going to be in Inverness tonight and tomorrow for the next 2 nights. He's like, well, and I wish I could imitate a Scottish accent so badly, but he's like, well, if we have to deliver them to Inverness, then we will. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. But so I was like, fuck. Luckily we packed, before we left, we're like, okay, worst case scenario.
What we talked about.
Yeah. They lose our baggage, but they didn't lose it. So that's good. So we packed in the carry-on, our wedding stuff, and a change of clothes. The thing is, the change of clothes that we packed was not the one we actually wanted to wear. It was like the extra change of clothes that we were packing. So it's kind of sucky to wear the clothes that we didn't want to wear. So we picked up our rental car. We're like, okay, not going to let this. We're here. We're fine. We're here. So we picked the rental. We got a Mercedes. It was fucking awesome. So we were driving north, and it was really funny because they ask you, have you ever driven on the left before? Nope. I'm like, okay. Here's a little bracelet to remind you. And that's it. That's it.
Like, you're going to be looking at your hand. You're driving on the left hand. Make sure you look at your
And
bracelet
it
in case you get on
says,
the wrong side of
drive on the left.
the
It just says, stay on the
road. You
left.
sent
On
me a
the,
picture. You
I'm
sent me a
like, and
picture.
then they let you go into the world. Stupid Americans driving on the, so like, there were some close calls. There was definitely some close calls.
You told me.
And son of fucking, they love their roundabouts over there. I swear to
The
God, like,
roundabout.
it was all there was fucking roundabouts. And we got honked at a couple times. I wanted to have a sign that said, like, I'm so sorry.
Fucking
I'm a stupid
Americans.
American. I'm so sorry. But Robert drove the first leg of the trip, and we drove up from Edinburgh through the Cairngorm Mountains. Melanie, I have never seen anything as
It was
beautiful.
beautiful. Your
And
pictures
that
are
the
just,
pictures and the
I'm
videos
sure.
do no justice. And I've seen some beautiful things. I have never seen anything as beautiful as the Scottish countryside. It was tear evoking. It was
Wow.
so beautiful and emotional. It was just
It's because it's
fucking, well, I can see
untouched.
why the Scots fought so fucking hard
Yeah.
to keep their land, because I
Yeah.
told Robert, I said, I would fight for this. I've never thought I would fight for anything in my life like that. And I was like,
Right.
I would fight for this. If this was mine, I would absolutely fight for it. But so we drove through the Cairngorms up past Balmoral. We saw a million and a half sheep. You know, like driving through rural Texas, everywhere you
Yeah.
drive, you see cows, cows,
Cattle.
cows, cows,
Yeah.
cows. All the fuck there is, goddamn sheep. Sheep, 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 sheep. I kept wanting to find and see one of the hairy coos. You know what a hairy coo is?
The
Yes. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see a hairy coo. I finally did see
Highland cows.
one on my trip. And
Oh
like,
my God.
I know. I just see them in my mind, like going, sup, with their bangs, like, sup, girl.
Yeah, they're
I
so
love them.
cute.
Yes. So I didn't get video or picture of them because we were driving, but I was so excited. Robert did get a clip of me because I had put the phone down and didn't realize I was still recording. So I was just trying to record everything. And I'm screaming, it's a hairy coo. I'm like losing my shit over this. It was so fucking beautiful. So we drove up through the Cairngorms, Balmoral up. We didn't get to go to that one castle that I was telling you about, the Castle of Dunatar, because it was flooding. It was really bad rains and the whole area was flooding and they had roads blocked off. It was really kind of scary because also we're driving through the mountains and they don't believe in fucking guardrails.
Yeah, try being on a motorcycle driving through the mountains with no guardrails.
Yeah, but your driver knew how to drive on the right side of the road.
That's true.
My driver was driving on the left side of the road, going through a mountain that he's never been through, mountain range to him.
You're
And
right.
the roads are really, really
The
narrow.
narrow, yeah.
And so, and then I'm on the side, you know, I'm on the left side, the passenger side, which is the side of the mountain. And you know, he's driving on the right, he can't see. I'm like, I had to stop looking. I had to cover my fucking eyes at one point because I'm like, I can't look. I just can't look. So I'm like, we are gonna go off the side of this fucking mountain. This is how I die. This is how I die. This is it. Oh my God. Yeah. And Robert's like, you're making me more nervous. And I'm like, okay. Oh my God. It doesn't help you, I know, to have somebody next to you being, you know, crazy, but it
Right.
was very scary that first drive in. Also, because it gets dark at fucking 3 o'clock. So
Oh,
we're
yeah,
driving
it's
in the
true.
dark, in the rain, through
On a
mountains.
mountain.
With on the wrong side of the road with this teeny tiny narrow street, it was very, I needed a fucking Xanax when we finally got to town. So actually, on the way in, we did stop at the Culloden Battlefield because we wanted to try to hit as much as we could. We had much more planned than we were able to do, so we had, you know, decisions are made. So we decided to do the Huntly Castle, which is the Gordon ancestral castle.
Right.
And the tomb the next day, make it like a side trip. And then we stopped at the Culloden Battlefield on the way in. So if anybody does watch Outlander, you know about.
I just rewatched it. I had watched it, but I
I
hadn't watched
just
the last couple
started
of
watching
seasons.
it. I finally
And
started
so I
watching it.
was living vicariously. I'm like, oh my God, now this
It's
like all
soft
makes
porn.
sense.
It's great. It's brought along the lines of 50 Shades of Grey and shit like that. It's great soft porn. But what I really love about it is the history in the show so far. It's really gone a lot with what, and I kind of wish I'd
Right.
watched it before we went because I'd know a little bit more. But the Battle of Culloden, we stopped at the Culloden Battlefield, which was very emotional because it was at night and the sun had just set. It was very, very cold. So there wasn't very many people there. It was just Robert and I. And it was really spiritual. It was a lot of, there's a lot of moments, very spiritual, especially in this, the countryside. So we get into Inverness, beautiful. We didn't get to really explore Inverness a whole lot, 'cause that was really just like our base camp. We weren't really intending to be in the city of Inverness a whole lot. Really, we wanted to explore what was outside the city. And because, you know, we didn't want to drive all the way back to Edinburgh, we're like, okay, we'll just stay in Inverness. So the next day we drove out, and it was really cool, 'cause like we got money out of the ATM and like barely, you have to pay for bags. I mean, just little things that I didn't think about. You have to pay for a bag in store everywhere you go. And like, I'm asking the man where an ATM is, and he said it to me, and I had no idea what the fuck he just said. His accent was so thick. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I had to say it. Like, could you speak up? But really, I couldn't understand a word he just fucking said. And all I know is he pointed like that way and said something. He was so, he was really thick accent. And then I turned around and walked away. I looked at Robert, said, did you hear what he said? He's like, it's this way. I'm like, okay, cool. So it was really cool to get like money. So we actually still have a 20-pound note from the Bank of Scotland, which is pretty cool, because we're going to keep that and frame it. And like, I'm going to try to be like Mel and do something creative. I don't know. So the next day we decided to go to Huntly Castle, which is Gordon's ancestral castle. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool, because when we got there and we were talking to the tour guide, and he's like, oh, do you have any, you know, ties to the castle? I said, yeah, I'm a Gordon descendant. And he was like, oh, well, come here. Let me show you, give you a tour of your castle. We got just a private tour, me and Robert. I was like,
oh, that was awesome.
Fucking cool. This is awesome. I really liked that castle too, because it was in ruins. And like, so we also toured Stirling Castle and Edinburgh Castle, but because it's used nowadays, it's modernized to a certain extent, you know, and this is in ruins, to where it's just, you can kind of imagine what it was like, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Right.
So it was really cool, because I reached down, there was a one place is called a mound. It's where the original fortress stood, and there was clover growing everywhere. And I reached down and picked a big bunch of clover that I'm drying, that I'm going to see what we can do with. Maybe Ashley can put it in my nails or something, or I can make it in a,
you need to put it with the money that you got and like press it into like a frame or something.
And I got a couple rocks. Okay. So I know the whole leave things as you found it. I know. Don't come at me, people. But when I was in this one area of one part of the ruins, I felt this rock said, take me. I was trying to commune with my ancestors and my spirit guides. And I looked around, because it was like a sunken area. And I looked around in the mortar and the stones, and there was this one little piece of mortar that like held the stones together, just sitting there. And I'm like, I'm just going to take this little rock, because I mean, the weather's going to wash it away. Anyway, it's one teeny tiny little rock. And I asked my ancestors, can I please, this is done in the best of spirits, of just to have a little piece of my homeland with me, so I don't feel bad about taking the rock. And I took a couple other little ones too, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So that was really neat to get that tour of that area. And then everything closes early too. Everyone told me is exactly right. It gets dark early and everything just closes early. And when you're on a limited time frame, it's kind of hard to get we want to go back when the days are a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So we can fit more shit in. So we are on our way to get to Elgin Cathedral in Elgin. Same time, the dude from the airport is calling me to deliver the bags.
Of course.
And I'm like, he's like, well, I've got another delivery. You're going to be in Inverness. I'm like, not really, dude. I'm like, I'm here at the castle. I was going to stop in Elgin, to Elgin Cathedral, to see, because I'm a Gordon descendant. I was going to see, you know, it's the fifth Earl of Gordon. I wanted to see his tomb. And he's like, well, I don't want to, again, and thick Scottish brogue. I wish I could nail a Scottish accent. He's like, well, I don't want to ruin your holiday, lass. I'll meet you in Elgin. Really? Thanks.
Yeah, they're really nice people. What I've heard is they're very nice people. That's why we're Scottish descendants, because we're so nice.
Oh my gosh, so nice. I've been hearing the stories of like the lady of the castle. She like established a school and all this stuff, because like they were really good people. So he met us and brought us our bags in Elgin at a gas station. And
wow.
I know, right? So I was trying to get to Elgin Cathedral. I saw online they closed at 4, went inside, and the man's like, we closed at 3, it's winter hours. I'm like, son of a bitch, I didn't say that. But I was like, oh man, because maybe we can look through the outside and see the tomb. And I asked the man, I said, can you point us where that's at so that we can see where it is? He was like, oh, he said, I don't think you can see it from outside. And I said, oh man. I said, I really only wanted to see that one tomb. I'm a Gordon descendant. He's like, well, come, let me, I'll show it to you. So he took us through the graveyard.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, God, these guys are so nice. So now Robin and I are trying to move there. Of course, we're trying to figure out how we can move this guy.
I already knew. I told David, I said, Bella and them are in Scotland because I was leaving through your pictures. I said, they're going to fucking move there.
To figure it out. There are some ways. We're going to try to at least maybe, right now we're trying to find if there's another place in Europe that we can maybe move to. And that way we're easy access to things over there, because it's like, once you're over there, everything is so close. So we got to see that tomb. That was really cool. Get back
it's
to
all
our...
It's all the fucking size of Texas.
Yes. Yes. So that was cool. The next day was when we decided to, you know, we're driving from Inverness down into Glencoe for the wedding. That morning we got up really, really early and we went to the Clive of Carnes. And I told you about the Clive of Carnes and how that's one of the places I really wanted to see, because it's a 4,000-year-old Bronze Age burial site and it's got burial mounds and the stone circles around it.
Right.
And when we got there, it was really early in the morning and it was foggy and really cold. It was like ethereal. It was gorgeous. I just can't even explain. And it's like just out there in the open. No, I'm thinking if that was here, it would be graffitied and vandalized.
Absolutely.
You can just walk out there, just open the gate and walk in. And I'm like, there's no way that could still be standing and intact here. Somebody would.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really, again,
no respect. There's no respect for it. There's no respect here for at all for it. It would have a penis fucking spray painted on it, like
yes,
it did Bonnie and
Clyde. Right. I got my little list here. So we did the Clive of Carnes and then drove out from there. Drove through, well, not through, but beside Loch Ness. Again, gorgeous, stunning, gorgeous.
But did you see the Loch Ness monster?
I did not.
Oh man. Oh, I was hoping someone would finally see Nessie.
I know. Now we want to go back and take an actual like boat tour on Loch Ness. Oh,
that would be awesome.
That would be really cool. But we are driving through there, Urquhart Castle, which is another really iconic castle. If you saw it, you would recognize it from many different, it's really iconic. Again, gorgeous. We weren't going to get out of all these castles, but when we were at Huntley, they sold us the Explorer Pass. Which you get all the castles free, but it was okay. But you add up, we definitely wanted to do Edinburgh Castle, definitely wanted to do Huntley Castle, we want to do Stirling Castle, and you could get into the other ones for the price of two of those. So it's like,
it was worth it. Yeah,
we'll just buy that. So we decided to go ahead and go through our cart, walk through it really quickly. Gorgeous again. I just can't say any of the words. I need to look up a thesaurus for gorgeous, magical, spiritual, ethereal, all of that. So then we get down into Glencoe, and here's our hiccup. So I was communicating with my Airbnb person. I've had really good, really good experiences with Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. You use it all the time.
Yes. I've used it to like do the whole house. I've done it to where we're visitors in the house. I've never had any issues with any, and I've heard horror stories. This woman had started emailing me, sending me messages earlier in the day. Do you know when you're going to arrive? I'm like, I don't know. I'm right. Traveling. I'm like in transit. I do not know. It really depends on how everything goes. So finally ended up and we got there and it was, I had texted her again, said, okay, we're getting something. It looks like it'll be closer to 7 by the time we get there. 7 o'clock there is very, very dark and very late. So we,
is there bedtime?
I guess, because when we get to this house, it is pitch dark, like black. You can't see anything. And I go up to the door because it says in the instructions, come around the door and ring the bell. And I'm like, okay, I ring the bell. Nobody answers. And it's cold. It's fucking cold.
Yeah, it looked like it was really cold.
I test the door and it was open. So I like push it open and I step inside and I hear this kid screaming. And I hear the woman come down the stairs, bum, 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 bum. And she's got like a 5-year-old kid on her hip. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It was cold. We went ahead and stepped in. She's like, no problem. It's fine. And then she's like, here's the key. I'll show you to your room. She just seemed very flustered and bothered by us. Took us upstairs. I was like, here's your room. We keep the door open all the time up front so you can come and go as you like. And I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks so much. And we had talked to her about Cheyenne and Caleb coming by and getting dressed there and doing pictures there and then leaving from there to the site because our Airbnb was closer to their ceremony site.
Right.
And I had sent her a message within our cancellation period and asked her if that was okay. She never responded. So I'm like, okay. So when we get there, I ask her again in the middle of her, like trying to rush me into my room. I'm like, you know, by the way, you wanted to remind you about my daughter and her right. fiance coming by, and it's going to be a little bit earlier than what we had anticipated. She's like, that's fine. It's, you know, as long as you're quiet. Okay. We'll be quiet. But then Cheyenne sent me a message, said, okay, makeup wanted to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, that is a big difference from 6 a.m. that she told me, but okay, I was going to go with it. So Cheyenne, the makeup artist, gets there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm trying to let the lady in real quiet. And there's this big coat rack next to the door, and she knocks it over and it goes,
like
a fucking cannon blast through the whole fucking house. I was like, I couldn't even lift it up. I was like,
this son of a nutcracker.
What the fuck? Why is it so heavy? It was overloaded. People had their bags on it. It was just, I couldn't even lift it up. I'm like, shit. So we get into the room. Cheyenne and Caleb arrive. We're getting dressed. The girls like running the hair dryer with Cheyenne, and we're talking. We're having a normal conversation in our room, which is a suite, by the way. It's a huge room. And we're not yelling, not talking, anything like that. And I hear this knocking on the door. And I'm like, oh shit, maybe we're being too loud. So I opened the door and the woman was there. She's like, what is going on in here? You're being so loud. I said, I'm so sorry. We're getting dressed. We didn't realize how loud we were being. I will immediately quiet down. I apologize. I'm so very sorry. I've always been, you know, a gracious guest. And I said, you're right. She's like, well, at this point you're violating our house rules. I said, I am so sorry. We will immediately quiet down. So then I come inside and I look, and she had sent me two messages on the Airbnb app. Okay. She said, what was the banging? And, you know, guests are complaining about banging doors. And I said, well, nobody's banging doors, but this is what happened with the coat rack. And then I was talking to Caleb, and Caleb's like, maybe we should just move to get ready to the back to the hotel. I'm like, that's probably a good idea at this point, because she's pissed. And so they went ahead and left. They had only been there maybe 45 minutes. So we pack everything up quiet as mice, and tiptoe out, and they leave. And I sent her a message and I said, again, I'm so very sorry and embarrassed. I said that in my message. I'm so very sorry and embarrassed. We are always gracious guests. We didn't realize how loud we were being. We're speaking over the hair dryer, blah, blah, blah. And I was just apologetic, overly apologetic. So very sorry. Nice. So very sorry. Won't happen again tonight. You know, they're going off and that's it. On the way to the ceremony, after we all got dressed and did all that, on the way traveling to the ceremony site, I was checking message and stuff just to see. I got this message from Airbnb saying, your host has requested a change in your reservation. I'm like, what?
She kicked y'all out?
Yes, she kicked us out. And I said, I don't understand. I said, because I thought maybe she misunderstood when I said we're leaving first thing in the morning, like meaning like we're about to be leaving here shortly is what I said. Actually, we're going to be leaving here shortly. Maybe she thought I meant checking out. And I sent her a message again, very nice, and said, hi, so-and-so. I'm really confused because are you refusing us to stay our second night? I said, we explained to you how this was an oversight. It was something that we did not intend. We were on, you know, jet lag time. Because for us, it was 10 o'clock at night. To them, it's, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. To us, it's 10 o'clock at night. It wasn't that big a deal. And the other person responds and says, we just can't have guests complaining. The only thing we can offer you is other lodging on the property, because they had these lodges. This was after a couple back and forth when I said, I'm shocked and surprised, to say the least. I've never been treated as such by a host. I'm always a gracious guest. You can look at my Airbnb reviews and see that that is not the type of guest I am. This wasn't, you know, a mistake. We immediately quieted down whenever we realized that we were being loud and disturbing you and the other guests. We immediately rectified the issue. And she was like, well, that's that. And I said, okay. And I said, and she came back. And when she said, well, you could stay somewhere else, I said, actually, no, that's fine. I've already booked somewhere else. When we got there, I said, the room was not as private as we thought it was going to be. It was freezing in the room. We could never get it to warm up. I did not say that stuff to her the night before, because it was the middle of the night. They want to say, hey, I can't get the radiator to work. I said, the room is very cold. And we just, it wasn't what we were expecting anyway. So we found some other accommodations and I still was nice. I wasn't rude. I'm fine to let anyone see my fucking messages. So I told Robert on the way there, I said, I'm about to tell you something that's going to piss you off, but I'm already fixed it. Calm down. He's like, what? And so I told him, he's like, fucking bitch. So I don't know if anyone who's listening knows how Airbnb works, but you can't, when you leave a review, you can't see the other person's review until you leave a review or until the review period is over. And then you can see what the other person has said and you have 2 weeks to respond. I was not going to leave the woman a review. I figured it was an unfortunate set of circumstances. She had good reviews. I wasn't going to say anything about it and let it go. She left a review for me immediately, like within 2 days. I was struggling with this the whole fucking time we're gone. Should I leave her review? Should I like list it all out, all the shit and all the, how rude she was. I mean, the comments and everything. And I thought, no, because if you leave somebody a review, they leave you a review, both people can respond to that.
Right.
And I'm like, she can then respond and say something. And then I can't say anything else back to that. So I thought, no, I'm going to, and I haven't even seen it. Cause today's the, I want to go look, but I'll wait till after the, after we record and I'll screenshot it to you. Cause now's the day I can see what she said about me and I have 2 weeks to respond to that. I wonder what she said. Anyway, that was the hiccup that happened in Glencoe. But then we get to the ceremony side and it was just fucking gorgeous. I didn't know if I should look at them or look at the surroundings. Cause I just, all I did was cry. It was so pretty. It was so magical. It was so spiritual. It was such a beautiful moment for them. I just felt so honored to be a part of it. And that Cheyenne,
it was beautiful
part of it. And I just felt really special that she wanted us to be a part of that. And she, you know, we were able to say something.
Right.
She cried, he cried. Everyone cried. It was really, really beautiful. And Caleb's 90-year-old grandmother climbed up that motherfucking mountain with us.
Seriously?
Yes, that bitch. I'm like, you go, Loopy. You go. She's what she said. My name is Loopy. I was like, well, hi, Loopy. And I was like, oh, hell yeah, you go, you go.
That's awesome.
About her coming down. And so we had to leave. We had to get our pictures because we had to leave to go get our shit. Because I told the woman, I'm like, fine, we will not be there to get our stuff until after the ceremony, which won't be until at least noon. So we had to leave and get our stuff. We walked in, packed up our stuff, walked right out. Flipped off the cameras on the way out. Oh, and that was it. So that was that. So then we drove from Glencoe into Edinburgh. We drove up north. We didn't know, but Robert's ancestral.
Wait a minute. You did the tea party after the wedding.
Yes. Oh yeah. That was the wedding too. I forgot about that. So yes,
but I want to know, what was Cheyenne's reaction when you gave her the something blue that had a picture of?
Oh, okay. So this might be a little bit longer episode than usual because so did I tell you?
Listen, Belle and I have not talked in 3 weeks.
No, I can't remember. Did I tell you what it was that we were gifting her? Okay.
It was a flower. So what you gifted her was
something old was my mother's wedding ring that she wore every day of life from the moment she was married to the moment that she died. Something old, something new was a handkerchief from Robert that had a really, really beautiful saying on it about being my daughter. Something old, something new. Something borrowed was I let her borrow my money, gree-gree,
that
we had gotten here. So the borrowed something blue was the, there's so much. It was it was a bouquet charm with a charm was a picture of Tony and then on
and your mom
and my mom and dad. And that was right before we left. I fucked that up and I had to place a pickup order at Michael's to get new charms because those charms I ordered on Amazon, you're supposed to do with glue and like the glue smeared all over the picture and fucked it up. This was the day before we're leaving. And I'm like, fuck, I'm like freaking out. I'm crying. I'm here crying at my desk because I'm like, what do I do? Because this was the thing.
If I was there, I would have been able to fix it for you.
Well, it's smeared. I mean, I only had one piece. So
why didn't you message me? I could have helped you.
There's nothing I could do because when you put the little glass thing over the picture, it smeared the glue in it and you couldn't get that back off. And I only had the one. There was nothing else that could be done for that. So
she got it and you got it fixed.
Yeah, I ordered it through Michael's. Yeah, I ordered a different kind and we did it like an Inverness. We were like cutting shit out. But yes, and so that was the blue. And then, and the sixpence for a shoe is that we got her the sixpence, the 1957, because it adds up to 22. So when we gave her that, she cried. I didn't think she'd be so emotional, but it was really
That's sweet. What I wanted to ask, like, how was she, how did she accept
I gave her my mom's wedding ring, and I'm excited to see the photos. I hope the photographer got some good photos where I don't look like shit. But she took it and she put it on her pinky because she has little chubby fingers. It's so cute. My mama had really thin fingers. I didn't expect her to wear it. And I bust out crying because I never want to assume somebody else's aesthetic. You know, that she had an aesthetic planned, and I would have been fine with her slipping it in her boot or something, because she wore hiking boots, of course, hike up the side of the mountain. And she put it on her finger, and I was like, oh. And she's like, well, I'm going to wear it, of course. And then when I showed her the little charms with Tony, she started crying. And then when Robert gave her the handkerchief, and she used that handkerchief, she did all throughout the ceremony, because, you know, she kept crying too. So it was really, really beautiful. It was exactly everything that I could ever want the wedding of, you know, my oldest child to be. It was really, really beautiful.
It was beautiful. The pictures, I can't wait to see all the other pictures and stuff. It sounds amazing.
It really was great. So then we, on the way back out back to Edinburgh, we didn't know at the time, but Robert's ancestral castle is closed for the winter. So we couldn't get to go there. I know, right? Completely closed, because you can actually tour it. Drove up through, went, hit the Wallace Monument. Didn't actually hit it, but you know,
I was like, wait, what?
We checked that off the list because we went to the Wallace Monument, went up to it, didn't go in because didn't have time. And then went to Stirling Castle. Stirling Castle was amazing because it was also a key location in Scottish freedom and their independence, which now, of course, they're not independent anymore. But it was really cool because there's the Great Hall. And I'm going to share this with my dad because, and especially there in the Stirling Castle, you see a lot of, and in Edinburgh Castle, a lot of the Gordon ancestry, because Gordon is not a very common Scottish name that you hear of anymore. You go look at the little keychains on the ship. Gordon's not as many or as prevalent as some of the other ones, like Douglas,
McKinsey, or McKinsey.
Those.
Yeah.
So to see, you know, it have a prominent place like in the Great Hall, because when you go into the Great Hall and, you know, they've given us the tour and we get up to where the king and queen sat, and you look on either side of the Great Hall and there's these beautiful stained glass windows and they all have coat of arms on them. There's like maybe 12 to 15. And they said, these are the families who are the closest to the king and queen. And right up there was the Gordon coat of arms. And then the exact same spot on the other side was Robert's, the Campbell.
Oh, cool.
It was right there. I was like, oh, that's pretty. That was really neat to see that, you know, it was, you know, a prominent place in Scottish history. So we saw Stirling Castle, really fucking awesome. And then that took us into Edinburgh. And then in Edinburgh, okay, so my story that I'm going to share today is a paranormal one. And we'll take a break in a second. So in Edinburgh, a lot of shit to do. What else did we do in Edinburgh? Hold on.
Well, it's one of the main cities, so I can only imagine all the stuff there is to do.
Yeah,
there,
it was. So Edinburgh was established very, very early on. It was called the Athens of the North. It was a prominent place for people who, academics, medical people interested in the medical field. So it was really a prominent bursting city. That
if you watched, is this your first time to watch Outlander?
Oh yeah, I've never seen it. No,
I'm
only like three, four episodes, maybe five. I don't know. I don't know how far
I am. True. I feel like they cover it very well in Outlander. Like, it's very true to how the town was during that time. So you can see that Edinburgh is definitely
Not in Edinburgh yet in where I'm watching. Yeah. The accountant dude is from Edinburgh.
Right.
But we're not, I haven't seen anything in that yet. So that's interesting to see. I can't wait to see that. So we met up with Cheyenne and Caleb over there. And, you know, just to say hi and have dinner and such. And Cheyenne was like, you need to do this tour. She said, one, she told me there's two things. She wanted us to do the Scotch whiskey experience, which we already knew we wanted to do.
Right.
And then we were doing the Edinburgh Dungeon, which was really, really cool. At least they're tourist attractions, but they're historically based. So they're it's not like Six Flags. It's like historical.
Yeah.
And then the other thing she said for us to do, which I had not really heard a whole lot about, was the real Mary King's Close. And she said, you have to do this because it's about Mary King's clothes. So in Scotland, they had small alleyways and streets. They were called closes. I think we talked about this, or wynds. And there was one, and actually it was a network of a few that at some point in history, I don't know the exact dates and such, but in order to build new on in that same area, they kind of leveled, because it was built partially underground, not underground. It was not like cover, but it was down into the ground.
Right.
And then rising up several stories.
Like burrowed out almost.
Yes, exactly. So not like underground caverns. Right. Now it is, because it's built on top of. But at one point in time, they wanted to build new on top of that. So they actually kind of leveled the whole area and filled it over and built on top of it. So it was during excavations and such, and I'll tell that it was found again that there's this area down under the city that is just like it was. It's like an archaeological, you know, excavation to dig all this out and see exactly the way it was in the Middle Ages. So she said, you know, you have to do the real Mary's King clothes. And one thing Cheyenne said she liked about it was that a lot of the tourist attractions really talk about ghosts and hauntings and such, and this was very scientifically based. So I'm like, okay, I like that. So I didn't really know much else about this area. So we go and we do the tour, and it's taking us deep down, and he's talking about the tour guide is talking about, you know, the way they did things back in the day with the plague doctors, and when the plague hit,
yeah,
you know, he was really carried by fleas and such, which in my story it tells a little bit long more. But we're walking through one area to another, and it's very brightly lit, and I felt what I thought was Robert pull my coat.
Oh, hell no.
I'm getting goosebumps. I have never been touched by anything.
Say that anymore.
I know. I have seen things, I've heard things, I've smelled things, I have all kinds of stuff, but I've never felt a touch. I've had, you know, people tell me that like they felt their hair pulled or whatever. And I looked behind me and I looked over at Robert, and he was a couple steps away. I thought he had pulled my coat to like tell me to hang back, like hang back because everyone was walking, like hang back, don't go yet, because we wanted to stay in the back, typically like stay in the back. And I looked over at him, he was a good arm's length away. And I said, did you just pull my coat? He said, no. And I look around because I thought, okay, is there like a handrail, anything that
maybe it got caught?
Yeah, got caught on anything? Nothing. Completely smooth wall. And I was like, what the fuck? And I looked at Robert and I said, is this place haunted? He's like, I don't know. I probably is because of the age of it. He's like, it probably is. I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm creeped out now. So then we keep going through the rooms and stuff. And the tour guide, he talks about how we get to this one area. And he said, you know, I've told you several times how we call ourselves the real Mary King's Close, because we do not fictionalize or embellish stories or anything. We tell you the real story of the people who lived here. He said, but then this is one exception to that. I'm like, what? And he takes us into this little room, and there's a fireplace, and there's dolls. Like an altar all in front of this fucking fireplace. It's an altar, Mel. And I'm like, I want to hear this fucking story. He said, after the area was beginning to be excavated, there was a well-known Japanese psychic that came through. And in that room specifically, she said she was about to walk out and she felt something pull her coat.
What?
I'm getting chills again.
Stop it. What the fuck?
Died right there. Because I didn't know this until, I'm getting goosebumps. My hair is like on end. that she felt something pull her coat. Mm-hmm. And when she turned around, she saw the spirit of a child in the corner who was crying, who said that her name was Annie and that her parents had died from the sickness and she had died from
Can it say, it's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard knock life for us.
Anyway, she said to the psychic, she told the psychic, you know, my name is Annie. My parents have died. I had a doll and I really want my doll. So the psychic decided to go buy a doll for her. and bring it back. And when she brought it back, she told everyone who was around her that she felt a lift of the emotion in the room, that, you know, the ghost didn't go away, but she, the ghost was happier. There wasn't.
Wait, is this your story, or are you telling us another story?
This is the story. No. Oh. I'm going to tell you the story about the Mary's King's Close. I'm telling you my.
Okay. Yeah, my thing. I was like,
I'm telling you what the tour guide told us.
Okay.
And that the psychic said that she felt a lifting of the emotion, and the spirit was happy. And he said they include this piece in the tour because one, people always bring dolls to leave for the ghost. And also because when this happened, there was no historical documentation of anyone named Annie or any child or any family who lived there until later on, historians uncovered documentation that there was a little girl named Annie that lived there and died from the plague, and her family had died from the plague as well.
Wow.
After the fact that the psychic was there and said that, gave the story that it was found, historians found documentation of this family. So the psychic couldn't have known that because there was no documentation of the family before, and they found it afterwards. So that's what happened to me. And we're going to take a quick break and come back, and then I'll actually tell you more about Mary King's Close whenever we come back. Hold on. Is there anything else that I wanted to talk about?
I mean, you've definitely had a more exciting time the last few weeks than I've had. So all I have coming up is Caitlin's graduating from college on Friday.
That's so exciting. I look at our kids. When did this happen? We're 16 years old.
I know. That's pretty much it.
I told Cheyenne, I said, you're getting married. And she's like, how can 16-year-old me be getting married? I'm like, I know.
I did go to a drag show. And if you guys live in the Dallas area, it's every Saturday. It's a drag brunch at Buzz Brews.
Yeah,
in Lakewood area. But it's called Buzz and Babes Drag Brunch. And Daphne Rio is the host. I told her I'd give her a shout out. They were so fucking fun and so amazing. And I've been to many times, but it was more intimate because it wasn't like Rose Room where there's so many people in there you can't walk. Like,
I really like the brunches because it was more
and it was so fun, and the girls did amazing, and they did amazing, and it was just wonderful. But that's pretty much all I've done.
I wish I had cards to pass out while we were there, because it could have gotten some new listeners from Scotland. But yeah.
Well, I did go to the casino too one night, and I won $240.
Hey, I should buy you a plane ticket to come see me.
I was going to just drive and see you because I'm working from home now. I know, but you have to work during the week, and I'm free during the week.
Well, so. I work from home. I'm off every Friday for the rest of the year. And I'm working home Mondays and Tuesdays. I only have to go into the office Wednesdays and Thursdays. And I don't have a whole lot of work to do is what I'm saying.
Well, I may come up on a Thursday and stay for the weekend. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
All right. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
Sounds good. Take a break. It's just never mind. I'm just going to tell you when I take up.
You're going to tell me what?
We're going to record again. I was going to tell you when I could come.
Oh, we'll talk after we record. Let's finish recording.
Shit.
Well, the only other thing that before I tell the story of the real Mary's King's Close is we did tour Edinburgh Castle, and we got to see the crown jewels of Scotland, which was fucking amazing that we actually got to walk through. You can't take pictures or anything in the room. So they just shuffled you through around the case to see the crown jewels of Scotland.
That's cool.
I thought the best thing that for me, that was the coolest part in Edinburgh Castle, which we didn't even get to see the whole castle, was you could actually see the room where Mary, Queen of Scots, gave birth to King James VI. That was fucking awesome.
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yes, Mary, Queen of Scots, that you could actually see. And she gave birth in this teeny tiny little room. And then also the oldest part of Edinburgh Castle is the cathedral that dates from 1100. I mean, that is 1100. I mean, here I love New Orleans because this historic 1700s is like the oldest historical
right
here. But to be there and have things so fucking old, human history old, was just crazy. just crazy. Okay,
well, to know that our ancestors walked in that area as well.
That's what is so amazing. Yes, that it was our family. It was something in our family. So let me see. I actually have a story for next time. It's my story too. I was going to try to do two this time, but I had too much to talk about. Where is my wrong document? There we go. Okay, let me put you back up here so I can see you.
Hello.
It says I can't record. I can't minimize you while I'm recording you. Okay, there we go. me.
I'm already minimized enough being 5'1", and my fucking kid gives me a hard time all the time about it because it's fucking huge. So
okay. All right, so Mary King's Close. So lying deep beneath the streets of Edinburgh's Old Town. So there's the city is it's like split up into two sections. One's called Old Town, one's called New Town. And we stayed on the Old Town side. Oh, also something else we didn't fucking know. I don't know why I didn't know this because I knew this, but it just didn't dawn on me when I'm booking the Airbnbs when they say third floor. No, that's fourth floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, third floor. I can walk up three flights of stairs. I lived in third floor for years and years. No big deal. But let me tell you, one more flight of stairs is a goddamn bitch.
If you watch Emily in Paris on Netflix, of course, it's not your kind of show. It's my kind of show because it's girly. But that's what happens to her. She goes into the wrong. She's like on the fifth or sixth floor. She goes to the fifth floor and they're like, no, the wrong. This isn't your apartment. Your apartment's on the fifth floor, like one more up. But it's really the sixth floor.
Really, sixth floor.
Yeah.
Yes. So I booked each of our fucking Airbnbs thinking it was the third floor, our third floor. No, it's the fourth floor. And carrying fucking 250-pound bags. Robert
did it. This is Robert. This is some bullshit. I can't
say that was me. Robert did it, not me. I was like, I'm so glad I have a strong
business. And I can hear Robert. This is some bullshit.
I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm like struggling. Still a 5 pounds. Struggling to carry our little carry-on bags up that I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die.
You know, I would have been carrying it all as much as I could to help y'all.
So lying deep beneath the streets of Edinburgh's Old Town lies a dark maze of closes. And it was really cool to walk into each one of them too, because everyone we saw, we were looking for them so that we could go through them. Because it's like Harry Potter world or something. It's like a little room, which we also went to see the Elephant House where J.K. Rowling wrote a lot of Harry Potter. We saw Greyfriars Kirk, went to
the
Kirkyard. We saw the Glenfinnan Viaduct. The actual train does not run this time of year. So we went to the viaduct. So that's another thing that we saw on the way in. But it was really cool to be in Edinburgh because it was like Harry Potter land. I see where she got all of her inspiration for Harry Potter because it was really, really neat. So there's a dark maze of closes known as Mary King's Close. It's named after 17th century Edinburgh merchant, Mary King. She was a past resident of the close. In Edinburgh and most likely other large towns within Scotland, closes or wens are usually named after the most prominent members of society. So Mary King was one such prominent member of society and business in the 1630s. She's said to have traded in fabrics, perhaps sewing for a living while also raising her four children. To have a close named after women in such times allows us to see how well established Mary King's reputation was within the Old Town of Edinburgh. Hold on, I have to do something real quick so I can see you. There you are. I just don't like to not see you. Okay. So once labeled as King's Close or Alexander King's Close before the arrival of Mary in 1635, this high-rise busy street, which housed many and provided workspace for others, would enter history as one of the most haunted areas of the world. Of course, I didn't do this research before I went or would have known this, and maybe I wouldn't have been so surprised to get my fucking coat pulled by a kid. So Mary King's Close consists of several underground closes that would have originally been very narrow walkways with dwellings on either side, sometimes rising to 7 stories. People lived and worked there, with the poor residents living on the bottom floors and the wealthy living on the top floors or the ground floors. With no sewage system in Edinburgh in the 17th century, people would have to go and do their business in a bucket. Each household had one bucket.
And then you dump it down to the floors below.
At a specific time each day, people would listen for the cry of Gardy Lou, which would signal to the residents that it's time to throw the waste in the buckets into the street to be collected. on each side of the road in the closest, you can see that there are channels for the waste to run down the streets towards what was known at the time as Norlock, which was a heavily polluted lake, which is now, it's located where the now Princess Street Gardens stands. So it's no longer a lake. It's now a Princess Street Gardens. So you can imagine
this. Princess poop. Poop gardens.
You can imagine the smell and disease having this rotting excrement so close to homes would cause. This was one of the reasons why in the mid-1600s, the plague ravaged Edinburgh, particularly Mary King's Close. Contrary to popular belief, the close was not sealed in with plague victims inside in 1645. Those healthy enough and those who wanted to move were relocated to Burgh Muir. The people who chose to stay during the outbreak continued to go on about their lives and run their businesses. Those suffering from the plague would hang white flags outside their homes, which was—
What year was that?
1645. So if those suffering from the plague, they would hang white flags outside their homes, which would signal that they needed food and cold, which was delivered by council workers and volunteers. So there were people in the community trying to take care of the people who had the plague. They would drop off food and such and things like that.
So they had Meals on Wheels before Meals
basically,
on Wheels was
cool. Yeah. The community took care of it, which is a lesson to us with our quarantine and stuff. The plague doctor, his name was George Ray. He would visit the close wearing his bizarre crow-beaked mask. Everyone's seen the plague doctor outfit, dressed head to toe in leather. The mask had a purpose, as at the end of the beak, Ray would add strong-smelling herbs and flowers, which were believed to stop the airborne miasmas, which were thought to carry the plague. So at that time in history, people believed that sickness was carried on vapors or on smells. Yes. This plague was not carried that way, but a lot of the things they did right, but for the wrong reasons, because they didn't know what they were doing, but actually was, it helped. For example,
and they thought that vapors and stuff could like cure stuff as well, like blow smoke up your ass. You'll hear it when you're watching Outlander. You're going to hear it and be like, what? That's what that means? They'll say, all he needed was someone to blow smoke up his ass and he would have been fine. Well, no, dumbass, he's dying from appendicitis. That's not going to save him. Yeah.
However, this disease, it was disease-ridden fleas that were to blame, and actually the leather of the plague doctor's outfit, who's covered head to toe in leather, kept fleas from biting him. So that actually protected him from the plague. To save a plague victim, Ray would slice open the boils, letting the pus drain away, and then he would cauterize the wound with a red-hot poker. While horrific, the technique went on to save many lives. Along with other plague doctors, Ray was promised a financial reward for conducting such dangerous work by the city council. However, not believing that they had actually survived, their hands were actually left in their pockets when it came time to pay the plague doctors. So it's believed Ray lived out his days, never having been fully compensated for all of his heroic efforts during taking care of people who were suffering from the plague. Due to the building of the Royal Exchange in the 18th century, part of the close was demolished. This is what I was telling you about. Part of the close was demolished and buried. Later, it was completely closed off to the public with only a few small businesses still operating, one of which was Cheney's Family Saw Business, which was in operation all the way up until 1902. Once they left, though, it was sealed and forgotten for years and years until it was rediscovered during road work above, when workers punched through the road and discovered a sealed close below, just like it was in mid-1600s. Mary King's Close was then used as a bomb shelter during World War II, laying relatively unused again until the 1990s when it was reopened as a museum and tourist attraction. So the ghost of Mary King's Close. A well-respected lawyer, Thomas Coldheart, and his family were one of those that refused to leave. It is reported that they were almost driven mad by images of disembodied limbs, a formless phantom of a child, and the ghost of a gruesome-looking dog that would curl up on a chair. One of the most famous and haunted places in Scotland, the close has become well-known worldwide for its wide variety of ghostly phenomena. Many visitors have reported seeing apparitions to those of those that once lived and died there. I kind of wish that I had known this history because I would have been more open and receptive and looking for things. Cause I really just thought, I don't know why, look how fucking old it is. Everything old has energy and spirits. So the story of Annie, the Mary King's close ghost, a well-known Japanese medium visited the close when it was reopened to the public. And she contacted Annie, the little girl ghost of Mary King's close. The medium felt a tug on her coat as she left one of the rooms. As she looked back, she saw a small girl crying in the corner. The little girl said she died during the sickness of 1645, and the troubled child talked of a doll that she had lost and that she was lonely without it. So the medium was moved and actually went and got her a doll and brought it back, left her the doll. And ever since, visitors often leave dolls and gifts in the corner of the room where the girl is seen.
So if I go visit, I need to bring a little doll.
Yes, I actually left coins. The close was partially demolished and subsequently buried underground during the construction, like we said, of the Royal Exchange in the 18th century. That has left us in the foundations that we see today, a reduction from the 8-story building to the current labyrinth of houses, workspaces, and animal sheds. They do take you through and through several levels, and you can go out and walk up the alley and see up and down the alley. It's really, I say alley, but it's the close. So today you can take a tour around this time capsule preserved underground. And while most do it for the historical aspect, a significant amount of tourists do visit for the spirits and are said to reside there. And when we left out of there, I told the tour guide, I said, okay, I know you say you're scientific, but I got to tell you what happened to me before I knew what you told us about. And he said, he's actually had things happen to him that they're not supposed to talk about it. And he's actually a very healthy skeptic, but he had things happen to him as well. I thought it was really interesting because on that day I was wearing my Satanic Temple shirt. And he asked me about it. He said, oh, I noticed your shirt. He said, I'm really interested in Satanic Temple. He said, are you members? I said, yeah, actually we are. We're members. He said, I'm just recently learning about them and I really, really like what they're doing. And I said, yeah, it's kind of cool. That's actually the podcast that I was interviewed or guested on. It's going to release on Christmas Day.
Can you tell us the name of this podcast?
Yes. Yes. It is called Tracing Owls. And
I think you told us last time, but I forgot.
I don't think I told the name of it because I wanted to make sure that I actually ended up recording because I had to postpone. And you know me,
I know you better than anybody.
But it's releasing on Christmas Day, and we mainly talk about like me and Robert's view of the Satanic Temple and how it's affected our lives and just different aspects of that. And I think it's really cool that it's releasing on Christmas Day because like it's blasphemous. It's about the Satanic Temple. I mean, it was a really good conversation. It ranged a wide range of topics, but I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm excited to hear it when it comes out. He does some editing and stuff like that on it. And he's the one who told me about our microphone volume that if you record a podcast, it should be on 60, should not be any higher or lower. But, yeah, everyone go listen to that on Christmas Day if you want to hear some more about me and my personal beliefs about Satanic Temple. I don't talk a whole lot about, you know, you and I both kind of keep a little bit of a distance on some of those topics. You can tell if you listen to our show, you can definitely tell our beliefs. You can tell. But we don't really deep dive into the nuances of that. And it was really interesting because he asked those questions to really deep dive into what it is I believe and why. So
we don't fall into the cult either.
No. But no, that was it. So that's the story of the real Mary King's Close.
It's crazy that you had an actual experience there.
That was the creepiest thing, Mel.
It's kind of like what we had with Zach and Addie when we were there and Addie came across. Yeah.
I ain't got time for this. That was I
got your shirt on, but not today, Satan.
Not today. That was not why I was there. It was so funny because I asked Robert if he, because when we were on the mountainside and I was reading my statement, I was reading my little thing to Cheyenne, I felt a hand on my back. I didn't realize Robert was right behind me and he was touching me. When I came back, I said, who was touching me? And he said, oh, I was right behind you. I didn't know that.
Oh, Cheyenne and Caleb were there with you on that tour?
Not on that tour. No, I asked Robert because when we were on the mountain and talking, and I was saying my statement to Cheyenne and Caleb, Robert's hand was on me. So I thought maybe it was that type of situation again to where I didn't realize he was actually right behind me. No, I
right.
He was just outside of my peripherals.
Right.
But yeah, I looked at him. And I said, did you just pull my coat? And he's like, no. And I was like, and I turn around, like did a full circle turn. Like I turned my whole body around, like looking all like, what the fuck? There's nobody else. I said, okay. I said, is this place haunted? He's like, I don't know. They hadn't mentioned it on the tour or anything. So he's like, I don't know, but probably. I mean, it's from the mid 1600s. People lived and died there during the plague. A lot of people died there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it was just really weird to, especially hear in the story, how it was a little kid who liked to pull jackets and clothes. And I'm like, what is it with me and fucking kids? God damn.
Yeah, because you wanted to play Ring Around the Rosie and fucking hide and go seek. And then we go to the damn dueling tree. But I was like, there's a little boy over there. I'm like, he's playing hide and seek with you. He's like, I'm over here.
I was telling Ashley about that when I was
Belle ran. She left my ass at the fucking tree.
And I'm like, bounced.
She bounced. And I'm like, okay, don't leave me fucking here. We left poor Brian with the wife there, our sister. What do we call him? Our third sister wife.
He's sister wife number three. Oh,
and we left him there. And then we like go back to the thing. I'm like, why are you running? He's like, there's a little boy over there. I'm like, he's playing hide and seek with you because the gates aren't closed yet. He was saying him over here.
When I got back in the van, I told Gina, I'm like, is there little kids here? She's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, I swear to God, I saw a little boy.
So we were playing with the kids at the Daddy's apartment. Yeah. And they followed us.
She's like, maybe they're not done playing with you. Oh.
Yes. You wanted to play hide and go seek and they're fucking still hiding from you.
Fuck
like,
that shit. And now it was at that moment, Belle learned to close the gate.
You don't fucking fuck with little ghost kids. They play your goat.
Good times. So yeah, yes. That was, and there was so much more. I mean, the main thing is just how fucking magical it was. It just, and I'm still so tired from it all. And just, we still didn't have enough time to do everything that we wanted to do. I felt like it was just literally, now I know, because now we're planning, you know, maybe doing some other overseas type of trips before we go back to Scotland. But
I want to go.
If you were going to do a hybrid countryside road trip and city in any country, do the city first, because the road trip is so exhausting. Because you're going, you're getting up that morning, you're going and you're driving all fucking day to see everything. And then, so by the time we got into the city, into Edinburgh, it was the last 4 days and we were already had been going nonstop for 4 days. We were exhausted. I mean, we just were exhausted. It was craziness. And then we had the flight home, motherfucker. The flight home was literally 24 hours.
Yeah,
we left at 2:30 in the morning, right? Yeah, we left at 2:30 in the morning in Edinburgh time. It was 8:30 at night here when we left. We did on Saturday. We did not get back into our house until 8:30 at night here. It was
crazy.
And that one was two layovers. Oh, I highly recommend the nonstop. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, the layovers are exactly. No,
that last flight. Okay. So the first one, it was really cool because we actually flew further away to Frankfurt and that was like a 2.5 hour flight. That was pretty cool. We landed in Germany. I was like, oh, I'm in Germany. And we had to like walk outside. So I asked Robert, I said, does this count? He's like, yeah, you walked outside.
Absolutely.
You're in Germany. So I was like, oh, cool. Then the next flight was the long one. It actually was 9.5 hours from there to Washington, D.C. And then DC to here was three hours or something. Melanie, I couldn't feel my body. I was having pains, like my fucking finger was throbbing. I mean, just I was having pains like all over my body, like the
From
flu or
sitting,
something.
it's from sitting so long,
Oh my
yeah.
God. Me and Robert both, because we actually ended up in that flight, we were sitting next to each other with the aisle between us. And we were looking at each other and we're just like, oh my God, we're dying.
We're done.
Dead. But it was good times.
So
We'll
glad that
do
you
it
had an
again.
amazing time. Congrats again to
Yes,
Cheyenne and Caleb.
congratulations, Cheyenne and Caleb.
I'm just so happy for them. I'm so excited. And the pictures that I've seen so far are just beautiful. And I've had people, they're like, I tell them, I'm like, yeah, Belle's daughter Cheyenne got married in Scotland. Scotland. I'm like, yes, you want to see a picture? And I was like, oh,
Me
cute.
too. I'm like, every single person I tell, we just got back from Scotland. My daughter got married. Oh, really? Yeah, she got married on a mountainside. Really? Yeah, let me show you. And I always just pull
I
up two
just show her a
pictures.
picture
I pull
and
up
I
the one
just,
picture I have because she doesn't have the professional ones of
yeah,
her
just one on
and
Facebook,
Caleb.
so when I show,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Her and Caleb and the officiant, and then the one of them in front of the castle because they also stayed at a castle. And that was
Yeah,
the
it's just,
tea there was so cool. It was so fancy schmancy, Mel, because they're like coming, drinking tea out of these little china cups. And they're describing, because they don't point with fingers, they point with hands. And it was just,
yeah.
everything was just so fancy schmancy. I felt like, oh,
It's
may I have some more
amazing.
tea,
Well, I'm
please?
so happy that you for them, and I'm happy that you guys got to go and experience it.
Yeah. It
It's
was pretty good.
exciting. All
I'm
right, you
so
guys,
tired.
I need y'all to go to my Instagram, Mel Titsworth, and I need y'all to share and like my reels because I got the bonus from Instagram that if I post 150 reels in the next 30 days, I get $1,200. So I really need y'all to go
You
and
should
like
have done
share
that. I didn't know
and
that.
like.
I could never see the whole fucking message when it said you're about to lose. Maybe it's not too late because
They're
when
gonna pay
it
me
gives you a message to
$1,200.
monetize your
And I'm only working one job right now. Oh,
Do
yes,
you
I'm
have to have a
monetized.
certain number of views or likes on it, or you just have to
So,
post 100? You have
yeah,
to post
each day,
150 reels.
150 reels in 30 days. So it's 5 reels a day. But it can't have any watermarks. You can't use your TikTok ones. Like I have to make all
Right,
new fuck
a
you.
new
If I can
one.
use video, I have tons of videos. That's why I've like been posting and tagging you and shit. So if you guys go see that, if y'all can just share and like it, I really appreciate it because
Well,
that's how
just
it.
screen record your TikToks and crop it.
I've tried that, but so you can, there's a way that I can do the TikToks before I share them, but I can't do the old TikToks. So when I make new ones, I'm gonna have to, yeah, I know how to do that. But making new ones, so I was trying to not, because it just started like yesterday. So today's day
Five a
two in
day,
30 days.
God.
Yeah, for $1,200? That's easy money. Come
Yeah.
on now.
Do you have
That's
to be a certain
easy.
length and stuff?
No, they're just reels. You can even post a picture and put music to it, and that's a reel.
And but people, you
So
need to actually have people see them and like them. Do you have a
they need
certain
to
number of
see them,
views?
like them, share them, view them. Yes. The views is what gets you the money. So I need people to go and view them and
Well,
share
what's the
them.
what I'm curious is what the requirement is, because you said you have to make 150 reels in 30 days, and that's it, or they have to be also seen and liked by a certain number of
Well,
people.
for views, it's bonuses. So the views and stuff. So I did it like last month and I got $105 for 30 days. It was actually in October for 130 days. I'm 130 days. Three reels within 30 days. And I got $105 at the full bonus. Yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah. So I mean, hey, it's free money
I
for
guess I
me,
need to go
but
click through on that
I'm
because
only,
I
Mel's
didn't
only
see
working one
anything.
job until January, so help a girl out.
You will. Yes, absolutely. I do like your. I do like them though.
Yeah, so all right, that's all I got.
Me
Y'all
too.
know where to find us on our Tiki Talks, on our Instagram, on our account pages. Y'all know where to find us.
I haven't
Thank
posted
you
on that
for
in a few
listening
months.
and to all our new listeners. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Y'all come
Come
back
back now,
now.
you
You
dear.
hear? Bye.